one's embrace.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for the ascension of our Lord. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. In Jesus' name. Tonight, we give thanks for the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's fitting for us to ask, why? Why are we thankful that our Lord Jesus left us? The disciples, apparently, and give the disciples credit here, because they do something completely unexpected. These disciples never seem to get what's going on. They constantly misunderstand Jesus. They still don't seem to get it in our first reading from Acts 1. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It says it's not for you to know the times or seasons appointed by the Father. Jesus in our gospel talks about how the scriptures had to be fulfilled, that the Son of Man would be arrested, that he would die, that he would be killed, he would rise again. And Jesus had told them no less than three times in Luke's gospel that that very thing was going to happen. They still didn't get it. But now our Lord Jesus ascends into heaven. And I want you to hear those words that describe the disciples. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Their Lord ascends into heaven, and the disciples are filled with joy. On a first reading, that seems ridiculous. Like the disciples must have mixed this whole thing up again. Why would they be joyful that the Lord had left them? They had grieved when he died on the cross, and then rejoiced when he appeared to them in the flesh and made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. And now he's taken from them again, really for a second time, the first one being his death, now the second time his ascension. And it says the disciples worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It just doesn't make sense to us, maybe. Of course, the disciples here actually do have the right frame of mind. They are filled with joy and worship toward their Lord upon his ascension. Because now the scriptures have been fulfilled. Jesus has done what God the Father sent him to do, to rescue mankind from sin and death and the devil. And now the victory is complete. All is done. As Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. The victory is ours through Christ our Lord. And the disciples are finally starting to get that. Jesus fulfills what God the Father wants him to do, and that is rescue mankind. Rescue them from what happened all the way back in the very beginning of Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, when they disobeyed God's command and were cast out of the garden, and sin entered the world. And that relationship with God was broken. Jesus came to restore it. And he has. For those of us who wish we could get a little bit more of Jesus here in this world, and I bet all of you have thought that at times, when you look at the hatred and the war and the violence and the pure evil that seems to be in so many places, you wonder to yourself, where is our Lord? Why doesn't he show himself now? Why doesn't he act? And yet, Jesus promises that he is indeed still with us. Though he has ascended into heaven, though the light of the paschal candle is extinguished, he has not left us. Consider the words of Jesus in Matthew's gospel at the very end. It was our verse tonight before the Alleluia. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus does not leave his church. Though his body ascends into heaven, his body remains here with us, given in bread, his blood given in wine. He is indeed with us. We are not alone in this world, and the disciples are finally beginning to understand that mystery. And it is a mystery, a sacrament, that Jesus dwells with us in his body given under bread, his blood given under wine for his people. Jesus has not left his church, even though he left his church. Jesus is with us. And we are with him. Our Lord Jesus ascends into heaven to sit at his Father's right hand, to take the place that is rightfully his, at the right hand of God the Father, with all dominion and honor and power and glory below him, given to him. He is entitled to that place at his Father's right hand. I want to invite you to consider how St. Paul talks to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To those of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ. To those of us who are God's children. There's a special phrase that Paul uses to describe us, God's people. He calls us members of the body of Christ. St. John writes about there being, it is St. Paul who also writes, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We are the body of Christ. As those baptized into him, we are one with him. Wherever Jesus is, we are with him. Wherever we are with the Word, Jesus is there with us. The glory of Ascension Day isn't just that Jesus is still with us here on earth, but that we are with him in heaven. Most of us are conditioned to think of heaven as something that's far off in the future. Something that awaits us when we die. Well, when I die, I'll go to heaven. And Jesus will return and raise the dead, and I look forward to that as well. Yeah, heaven's in the future. But it's also right now. Consider what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 when he says, our citizenship is in heaven. Not will be in heaven. Not one day we will be citizens of heaven, but our citizenship is right now in heaven. We are, in Paul's words, the body of Christ, one with Jesus. And that means, though we as a church gather here on earth in earthly church buildings built with hands, in a very earthly world still filled with wickedness and violence and evil and hatred and sin and death and shame and guilt, we are also a church that is with Christ at the right hand of the Father. We are a heavenly people. Not we will be a heavenly people, not someday off in the future, right now. We are God's heavenly people at this moment, one with Christ as he sits at his Father's right hand. So when you come before God in prayer, when you bring him your needs, your petitions, your intercessions, your thanksgiving, your prayers go right before the Father because you are one with Christ who is at his right hand. That's all possible because of Ascension Day. Because our Lord seemingly left his church. He hasn't really left it, though, has he? He's taken it with him to his Father's right hand. And it sort of gives new light to a really well-known Bible verse in John chapter 14. When Jesus says to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many rooms, and you know the way to the Father. And Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, how can we get to your Father? We don't know the way. And Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our way to the Father, not just in the world to come, but right now. You, my dear friends in Christ, have access to the throne of God. At our ladies' banquet back on Monday, the ladies did a program based around the story of Esther. Esther, who was a Jew by birth, but captive in Persia, and forced to marry the king and became a queen. And yet there was this rule that no one could enter the king's presence unless he bid them to come. Otherwise, they could be put to death. And Esther, with great courage and boldness, approached the king to plead for her people, knowing that he could put her to death. You know, when we live in a world where we routinely complain and whine and you gripe about our elected leaders and the people who rule us, doesn't matter if they're Republicans or Democrats, we're never happy with them. We're completely disenfranchised by them, by the whole process. We're kind of unfamiliar with the idea of coming before a king. A king has your life in his hand. He doesn't need permission or a bill to be passed to take your life. A king takes what he wants. And if he wants you dead, he can do it. Our King, our God and Father, and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, have, as Psalm 110 says in our intro, it all dominion, authority, and power, all things put under his feet. The power to take our life, should he so choose. But because we are one with Christ, and Christ sits at the Father's right hand, we need not fear the throne of God. We come before the Father as the baptized children, baptized into Christ, our Lord and Savior. So why is Ascension Day important? Well, in a way, Ascension Day and 10 days later, on Sunday the 20th, we'll observe Pentecost. Those 2 days together are really the birth of the church. Jesus' earthly ministry came to an end. He ascended into heaven, and then he sent his Holy Spirit, and the church was born. The new Israel. Tonight, we really begin the celebration of the birth of the church. The church into which God has made us members and has made us one with his Son, Jesus Christ. And the church is not a place, I want to emphasize again, where we are without our Lord and Savior. On the contrary, our Lord remains with us in his word, in his body and blood, in the baptismal font. And we remain with him before the throne of God with our prayers, with our needs, with our concerns, knowing that we have the Father's ear, because we are one with the Son, in whom he is well pleased. We are one with the one who died for us and gave us his righteousness. We are one with the one who is before the throne of God at all times, and yet is still here with his people on earth. The disciples finally got it. All things were fulfilled in Jesus, and that gave them great joy. And my hope for you is that it gives you great joy too, to know you are not far away from your God, but you are before his throne, and he is here with you in the Son, Jesus Christ, at all times, at every moment, until that day he comes again in glory to gather us bodily into his kingdom that has no end. Thanks be to God for our Lord's ascension, for this gift, his church, where we are one with Christ now and forevermore. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.